Father God, we thank you for your word. We ask you please to open the eyes of our heart that we might see the marvelous things in your word, that as our soul faints with longing for your precious word, God, we want to be like miners digging out and looking for the richest of nuggets, God, the gold, the platinum, the diamonds. Till we see you face to face, we won't stop asking, seeking, knocking, digging to squeeze every bit of life out of this world of death. Till we see you face to face. We look forward to this, God. Amen. COVID-19, the coronavirus from China, is of the devil. I believe it. I experienced many difficult things in my own time with fighting with the virus. And every byproduct of it has been of such. The enemy has done an overreach in our nation and in this world. In the face of the planet, they are telling you, be divided. Stay away from those black people. They're no good. Stay away from them white people. They're no good. Stay away from those poor people. They're no good. Those rich millionaires and billionaires. They're no good. Stay away. 6 feet from each other. Don't gather together with your family. Don't find out. Don't let the... We're going to give you a hotline to call. 1-800-I'm-a-rat. Call on your neighbor if they get together. Ryan, I think you're being silly. What are you talking about? Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, all through Scripture, God talks about the unity of brethren. Being like-minded with somebody and hanging out with them crosses all borders. You will find it if you go to the gym. Those of us that go to gym, we call ourselves gym rats. I'm a gym rat. And when I go to the gym, I hang out with other gym rats, jiu-jitsu people. That's who I hang out with. And it's cross-cultural. It doesn't matter what color. It doesn't matter what size. It doesn't even matter what gender. It doesn't. You're talking about jiu-jitsu? Let's talk about jiu-jitsu. For people who fish, you ever go to the dock? You ever go to the pier? You don't have to know anybody. What's running? What you hitting? What's out there? What's going on? No matter what sport, no matter how... Christians, you going to heaven? I'm going to heaven. It's a funny thing. One of the saddest things that must be to God is you drive up the block and you see a Brazilian church or a Haitian church. Like, that must break. God must be like, what? A white church? Who made that? Who came up with that? Wasps. White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Divide and conquer. It's been the enemy's plan from the beginning. Only for a short while are you to go off and be by yourself. Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. It's the manner of some, but so much the more as you see the day approaching, to stir up love and good works in each other. I went to the temple in the throngs. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, A house divided cannot stand. You with me, guys? It's crazy because when you can hang out, you can overcome anything. It's the craziest thing. Let me tell you something. The worst thing about prison was being away from my wife. The best thing about prison, we did a lot of hanging out. Just hanging out, playing dominoes, playing spades, playing. I mean, listen, if I could have seen my wife a couple of times a week, like, where do I sign this contract? This isn't terrible. It really wasn't that bad. Workout, 3 squares a day, I got a cot, and I hang out with interesting characters. I've got so many stories about prison, you can't imagine. I have to tell you one, just because it's that silly. When I first left for prison, I shaved all my head off. And I didn't realize at the time, I was like, they're gonna think you're a skinhead. I didn't think of that. So I shaved all my head off, and the first day I get there, guy's walking up to me, go, "But where are you from?" "South Florida." No, but what crew? Like, you skin? "Oh, I ain't a skinhead." "Well, we gonna get together at bocce ball court and there'll be a lot of other skins there, so I ain't a skinhead." So then I got taught this game called cutthroat. Does anybody not, raise your hand if you don't know what cutthroat is. Okay, so you know what spades is? White people don't know what spades is. Cutthroat is every man for himself. It's spades, but every man for himself. And the loser has to do 25 push-ups. Now, when you first get to prison, there's not a lot to do, especially if you've been busy like me. So you walk around the track, you start to work out. And in South Miami, with a skinhead, with a bald head, walking around the track, you black folk might not know this thing, but you get like a bad sunburn. Like white people get sunburn, and it could be like second degree, and it fills up with pus and all of that stuff. I know my little brown daughters. We got to keep them greased up too because they get nasty sunburn also, but I never had that before. That's never happened to me before. But I never really been outside, like in the hot sun, in Florida anyway, with a bald head. So I'm learning how to play cutthroat, and the only way to learn how to play cutthroat is by doing a lot of push-ups. But what did I care? Well, I was there anyway. I might as well get in shape, right? Well, one day I was sitting there playing cutthroat, and I got this pus pocket on the top of my head. And I was like, ew, this is nasty. We're playing cutthroat and I'm doing push-ups. I'm playing cutthroat and doing push-ups. Now I was there and there's this one guy named Lauderdale. Everybody called him Lauderdale. "Lauderdale talk like this." He always was smoking a root. I don't know where he would get these roots, but it looked literally, it wasn't a cigarette or a cigar, it was just a root. "Riding bar, Ryan, give me 25 push-ups, shut up." And one day, I do the 25 push-ups. I sit down, as I did the 25 push-ups, this thing popped. And it ran down my face. And I was, "Oh." He looked, "What's that?" I said, "I got a sunburn and it made like a pus pocket and it just popped doing those push-ups." And he looked at me and I swear, and he looked at me and he goes, "I hate white people." I got so many stories like that. And it's just from hanging out, man. It's just. Just people hanging out. As a matter of fact, if you want to get punished in prison, they put you in what's called the SHU. That's called solitary confinement to you and me. As a matter of fact, I knew guys who rather die than go back into solitary confinement. If you get into a fight or something and you're going to get put in the SHU, guys will do anything. They will run, they will jump the fence, they will anything rather than be in solitary confinement. So when I ask you, when I say to you, this thing is of the enemy, what in the world would possess a governor or a mayor to tell people to stay away from each other. Oh, I know exactly what would possess them to do that. To keep them divided and to keep them conquered, to keep them from comforting each other, to be miserable. They want you to be miserable. Ryan, why would they want you to be miserable? So you can vote for the candidate they want you to vote for. That was the plan from the beginning. You with me? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. Before we read the last part of verse 3, again, I've told this story before. You got to remember, I want you to think about something. Think about no running water for a second. Think about the inability to just jump in a pool, to put your hand underneath. What they can do, though, is they would have either flasks or jars of oil. And they would take this olive oil, and they'd rub it in their hand, and they'd rub it on their face, and they'd grease their hair back, and they'd find which way the wind was blowing, and they'd sit there, and it would cool them off. I want you to think about a morning. You get up in the morning, and there's dew covering the grass. And there's dew even on the sand. And you could just roll around in it. You could just rub your hand in it and wipe it in your face. Because when the night's cool, or the morning's cool after a hot night, or vice versa, you get that dew. And that's how you cool off. And again, think about no running water. Think about not walking around with a bottle of water. Think about waking up in the morning, sleeping without air conditioning. Yeah. You see that dew? Man, you go and put your hand on it. Man. He said that's what he wants to do. That's the visual here. He says, you know what it is like hanging out with people that you're like-minded with? You know how pleasant, you know how beautiful it is? It's like getting up on a sweaty night, after a sweaty night, and just rolling around that dew and letting that cool breeze hit you. You talk about refreshing? That's refreshing, he says. And he says this in the end of verse 3, which is the most beautiful part of it. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. There the Lord commanded the blessing. What was the blessing of hanging out? Life forevermore. You know what the whole idea of salvation is? To go to heaven and hang out with God. Do you understand that? Malachi chapter 3, there's a verse in Malachi chapter 3 toward the end, and because Malachi chapter 3 is so packed with other stuff, most people miss it. He says that a book is written of those who fellowship in the Lord and talk about the things of God. A book is written every time. Matter of fact, keep your place here. We're going to come right back. Turn a few pages to the right to Malachi. Listen to this. Listen how big hanging out is to God. Last book of the Old Testament. Verse 16, chapter 3, the book of Malachi. Or if you come from the same place I come from, it's called Malachi. It's the Italian prophet. That's a joke. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. How important is hanging out to God? I'll tell you how important it is. It's time for people to start going back to church. It's over. It's a year now these people have been messing with your life. And all this stuff is coming out now. Do you know what came out yesterday? Fauci has been wrong this whole time. Do you know where the 6-foot distance came from? This is the craziest thing. This whole social distance, 6 foot, it's a 120-year-old mandate from a guy who is trying to get people to stop spreading, what was it? The bubonic plague, was it? One of these plagues. There's no real science. As a matter of fact, in June, it came out that 3 foot was just as good as 6 foot, but they wouldn't release this information. The places that locked down, they experienced no less spread than those that didn't lock down. Isn't this crazy? If you're home watching this, it's time to come back. Get your shot if you're going to get your shot. My family won't, but if you're going to get it, go get it. Come back to church now. The enemy has divided and conquered you long enough. He's had his fun in your heart, in your mind, and in your family, in your life. Behold, how good and pleasant it is. What did I tell you guys from the beginning of this before I got COVID? I'd rather die than lose my freedom. I'll take the COVID. What if you die? I'd rather die than sit home alone, away from the family of God. You're all I got, guys. I got my wife and my kids. Everybody else in my family's dead or they don't talk to me. You're all I got. Just a misfit toy around a bunch of other misfit toys. But behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. I need you guys. And I need you guys that are sitting at home. I need that big lug that usually sits right there. I miss that son of a gun. You see it now? Do you see how this plan played out? The Lord said, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. And the government said, forsake the gathering of the brethren. As a matter of fact, I'm going to arrest you. I saw one of the sickest things the other day I'd ever seen. This lady in Texas walked into a bank. Did you guys see that? She walks into a bank without a mask on. A cop approaches her. Now there is no law mandating masks in Texas. The governor, Abbott, lifted it. And this cop told this lady to put a mask on. And she was telling him that she doesn't need to. And this cop took this old lady down on the ground and handcuffed her behind her back. Like, what are you out of your mind? What happened? Was she 65? No, she looked a whole lot older than 65 in that video. Mickey, number one, nobody will believe you're 65, okay? It's a 65 lady you ain't going to be hanging with. Well, I'm glad you lightened it up. However, you guys understand this? It's over now. Let's get back to normal. Be a weirdo. Go to Home Depot without your mask. Guy at Home Depot came up to me the other day and told me to put my mask on. Huh? Go without your mask? Which one you go to? I go to the one over in Coconut Creek, and there's this big black dude in there, and I know him for like 10 years. And he walks up to me, not Dredd, that's Ruben. Ruben I know really well too. No, this is a big, big dude. And he walks up to me and goes, man, you ain't got your mask on, Ryan. And I go, aren't you at loss prevention? And he goes, you got me. Like, who are you people telling? It's the craziest. Did you guys see on the news the other day, these two women got into a fist fight in Bed Bath & Beyond or something like that? Oh, you could tell the girl to put her mask on, and then you could fight her. Like, you're afraid to get close to her because she doesn't have the mask on, but you're not afraid to get closer because she's going to... Listen to me. COVID is, was of the devil. Rebuke it. Don't follow it. Let's get everything back to normal. I ain't saying get into a fight and get arrested, but let's push people back to normality. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I am a hangout junkie. I've been my whole life. I don't know if you guys dig this, but like my father growing up, he was like Superman to me. But he would beat me and my brother. Like old Italian beat, like a backhand in the mouth, bust your lips. My parents were those, like, smacked you in the face. You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you understand that. Like, in some place, like, I've never smacked one of my kids in the face. Never. But my parents smacked us in. I watched my father backhand my brother one time and loosen his tooth. Like, this was, like, normal. But if it was Friday night and I was punished, I would open up my window, crawl out the back. We had these things in New York called a fire escape. If you don't know what a fire escape is, it's just a metal frame. It's not the safest thing in the world. You let the, there's no way I wasn't hanging out in front. But my boys are out. You missed something. That's how important it is, ingrained in the human psyche, to hang out with people. Like, we had this kid that used to come to church, and he left church to go work in a tattoo shop. And it was just a toilet place. It was just not a good place for him. I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he looked at me and he went, Ryan, those people get me. I couldn't argue with that. It's like, man, you know, I thought we got you here. But if that's what you're about, man, and they get you, I dig it. I really, you just want to be in a place where people get you, you know? Just want to be around people who, I get you. I got you. You guys know what I'm saying? So when somebody tells you, divide, get away from that, when somebody, could I just say something ridiculous? Like, how in the world are you going to categorize people by the color of their skin? I mean, like, is that not the stupidest thing? They have to keep saying it to you over and over and over again until it makes sense to you. They've got to ram the whole racist thing down your throat over and over again because it makes no sense. Like, white people? Like, what is that? I mean, I don't understand. White people, what? White people, what? White people have privilege. Like, what? What white people? Maybe the white people you hang out with. I mean, like, I struggle with this. And I struggle with people when they try to explain it to me. You have any idea what it was like for my parents to grow up in East New York? You can't explain it. And you just, I don't, where are these people? Where are these? I see them on TV, but I don't know any rate. Like, I see people of all colors, and some you like and some you don't. That's what I see. I've never had somebody look at me and go, you know, I don't like you because you're white. Black, Hispanic, just, don't like me because I'm me. That's all right. It's just a weird. You guys understand? I have trouble wrapping my head around this thing.
Do you see what Columbia University is doing?
Yeah, it's the sickest thing. Did you guys hear what Columbia University is doing? Yeah. They're having different graduation dates for different people. Black people get to graduate one day. White people get to graduate another day. LGBTQ, ABCD. Different days. I mean, it's like, I like what the guy on TV said. He said, when are we going back to separate water fountains? When are we going back to that? Yeah.
What? It's racist to go back to being racist.
Ready? Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Now, I got to say this because people say, you don't know because you don't know what it's like to be black. Yeah, you're right, I don't. You want to tell me? I'm all ears. I'll listen. Tell me your story. I'll tell you my story. We'll just sit and trade stories. Oh, no, but you don't know what it's like to be a minority. No, I did. My school was more black and Hispanic than white. That's how I grew up. It's just, sorry. Yeah, but you don't, you're right, I don't understand. So tell me. Tell me how it stopped. And you know what I tell you? I tell you what made you stronger. It's like I talked about on Sunday, Oprah Winfrey. So blown away by that woman. What a woman. What an amazing, amazing lady. What is she doing with her life now? When did all these people trade in their sanity for madness? Continuing. Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Behold, bless the Lord, O you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. I have to tell you a story about this psalm. I have a person that this psalm assigns in my brain. There was a kid named Anthony. He's not a kid. He was a man named Anthony. When I was going to church, I was a deacon at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale. Patricia O'Brien. She said, I have to have you meet somebody. His name is Anthony. And I said, why do you have to meet? Well, he's Italian. He's from the Bronx. Huh? Yes. Anello, right? And of course, it's a crazy thing. If you're a Christian and you know people that are not Christians, and they have another friend that's a Christian, they have to introduce you, right? Because all Christians know each other, right? Like, if you ever meet somebody from Australia, like, oh, I know somebody else from Australia. And you'll be like, you do know Australia is a continent, right? It's not even a country, it's a continent. Chances are, I don't know them. So I go meet him. Hey, Anthony Aiello, big, fat Italian. He looked like he had a hole in his lip where his cigar used to be, the cigar. Hey, how you doing? Hey, buddy. Hey, Gumball, how you doing, huh? Hey, it's nice to meet you, Anthony. Hey, I thought I was the only Christian Italian in this church, huh? No, there's a few of us here. Anthony wound up eventually coming out of the same lifestyle, kind of a mobster type of lifestyle, came out of it, got saved, and started serving God, and as life would turn around, he lost any sense of income when you go straight and you don't know how to do anything, you know. So he started working at the church, and one of the first jobs he had was, he was what's called overnight security. And we'd sometimes have late night prayer meetings at the church, and we'd be there till 11, 12 o'clock, and I'd have to walk to the church to unlock something or get something. I'd walk through the church, and I'd see Anthony. Hey, Ryan, what are you doing? Hey, mangiare, yeah. My wife made some pasta. Come on, eat with me, you know, mangiare. Every time I read this, I think about Anthony. This is his psalm, because every time I was at church late night, there he was. Behold, listen again. All you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I love that. I see him just walking around the church by himself. Anthony was one of those guys that could be by himself because he never stopped talking. When you talk to Anthony, you walk away, he just keeps talking. Bless her heart, she's not here tonight, but you guys ever have a conversation with Nicole? You don't have to be standing there. She just keeps talking. You go, I got to go now. Okay, see you. And you walk away. You'll hear her still talking. Like she just switches from you to herself. It's seamless. You guys never experienced that yet? Oh, it's wonderful. All right, I'm over here now. All right, just ignore me. I'll just keep talking. Okay. Anthony was like that. I want to visualize his vision of God. His vision of God is like the Godfather. Everybody has their picture of what God is, you know? They have this idea. All of it's just a graven image, an idol, but it's still, everybody has this. And one of the hardest things to get people to do is to take their image of God away from their father. Like so many people, they come to the Lord and they think that God is like their father. God's going to give them a crack in the mouth when they do something wrong, or he's going to be mad at them. It depends on what kind of father you had and all of the idiosyncrasies that your father had, you pin this on God. And to not understand that God is so pleased with you. Yeah, but you don't understand. I did this, or I slept with that, or I watched this, or I touched this, or I snorted this, or I drank that. And like, it's okay, God still loves you. No, because my father, when he caught me doing stuff, he would get mad at me. Well, your father in heaven don't get mad at you. Oh, no. But listen, your father in heaven, actually, when you were at your absolute worst, is when he loved you the absolute most. And that's, and I always wanted to see Anthony's, the picture of God in his head. It had to be like, son, I'm so proud of you. Come here. Come in the house and worship. You know, sorry. I want you to try and do that with some verses. Ask your friend next, hey, what's your life verse? Like, I don't even like to hear when people tell me their life verse. No, you're going to screw up my life verse. Don't do that. I have verses that are my verses, like my verse. When I hear somebody else say it, I was like, where'd you get that verse? How dare you steal my verse? That's my verse. Like, I have a verse from the book of Luke where, I'm not even going to tell you where it is because I don't want you to go steal it. There's a picture where this woman, I'm not going to even tell you her name because I don't want you to take my verse, cries on the Lord's feet and dries his feet with her hair. And he says to the Pharisees that are there, he said, you see when I got here, you didn't give me no water for my feet. She hasn't stopped. You didn't even greet me. This woman's poured oil over my head to prepare me for my burial. He said, you, who you think, and I'm paraphrasing, have no sin, don't love me at all because you don't think you have anything to be forgiven of. This woman loves me much because she has much to be forgiven. And then he says, now, and not paraphrase, but literally he says, for he who has been forgiven much loves the same. And as a man, I don't like to take no verses. That's a woman's verse. That's my verse. And I know a brother's never going to tell me that verse because it's a woman's verse. So that's my verse. So stay away from my verse, guys. Ladies, don't even tell me it's your verse. It's not. It's my verse. And you need to do that. You need to find your verse, your life verse. I have a marriage verse, too. My marriage was an absolute bloody mess. And when I got out of prison and me and my wife decided to stay together, I was at church one night and a guy said to me, hey, I got a verse for you, Ryan. And I was like, oh, man, give it. You know who did it? Remember Sean had the blonde wife? Dino. Sean Conway. Sean Conway. Huh? Joel 2:25. That's right. You've heard this story. No, it's my verse. I will restore to you the years. That's not your verse. Joel 2:25? I don't talk about it no more. No, I don't talk about it no more. I have other verses too, and I'm not telling you anymore. Somebody's going to steal them. But when you hold on to something that is rock solid, when it's firm foundation, man, it can't be moved, it doesn't shake, it's the greatest thing in the world. There's nothing like it. God's word will never return void. Do you hear that? Amen. His word never returns void. I'm blown away. This was Anthony's verse for me. It still is. I don't know what's become of him. I know he had some trouble, but I haven't seen or heard anything from him. But every time I read this verse, I think about it. I think about the people that are in the house of the Lord at night when there's nobody there, and just somebody that could find a place of worship for themselves. It's just, it's that visual. It just burnt in my brain. Psalm 135. Notice something. It doesn't say a song of ascents. The songs of ascent have stopped. They're now writing, going back to normal psalms. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord. Now, I find it interesting. One of them says, bless the Lord. This one says, praise the Lord. I don't know the difference. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Please give me your attention. I want to tell you something. I know it's hard to see looking at me now, but when I was younger, I had an anger issue. I grew up in a violent home with parents who were, you know, very drug-addled and very 70s, you know, free love type of thing. And it did is it brought a bitterness to me. I was very, very angry. I was very violent. I was diagnosed with fits of depression and fits of violence. They actually wanted to put me on medication, but my parents were too lazy to actually take me to get the drugs. Besides, they might have cost money, and they absolutely weren't going to spend it on that. Thank God. We have a kid that works for us. His name is Trevor. Trevor gets the same look on his face that I got on my face. Trevor's a young kid, 20, 21 years old. But every time we make fun of him, Trevor has what we call in the street rabbit ears. If he sees somebody talking, he immediately thinks they're talking about him. What? What'd you guys say? And now, of course, because he's a little guy, we all make fun of him constantly because he has rabbit ears. And in our hanging out, we do this crazy thing. Guys, I know that I'm probably the only one that does this, so I'm confessing something to you. But my hanging out sometimes goes over the line. And we turn hanging out into coarse jesting. It goes from fellowship to, yeah. We say things to each other like, if you were there listening to me talk to each other, you'd be like, I ain't going to church there no more. I'm not that bad. You guys that don't know me are like, what did he do? We just make fun of each other a lot. We're just really hard on each other. We're guys, so we smack each other in places. We pinch each other. We're constantly doing things in a way that some of y'all might not come from that area and don't understand that stuff. You know what I mean? But we have fun. And sometimes we cross a line. And we do that with Trevor. And I see Trevor gets this. And as soon as we see it, we go, hey, Trevor, you mad? Are you mad, Trevor? You upset? Trevor, you upset? Trevor's mad again. Trevor's mad. And he starts to. Yeah, it is. So much fun, though. And I said to him just the other day, I said, you know, Trevor, I see that same type of anger in you that I saw in myself. You have rabbit ears. You want to listen to what everybody says. Like, Trevor's got a bad knee. Trevor's a fighter. Oh, you remember Trevor. You remember Schnurp. And so he just blew out his ACL, so he had it operated on, so he's got a leg brace. So he puts his leg up. And I'm so mean to the kid, I let him work with one leg, okay? And all he does is make boxes all day. He tapes boxes with his leg hanging up. I said, Trevor, you listen to what everybody says. You think about it. You're constantly fighting with Paulo. You're constantly fighting with Orion. You're constantly fighting with this kid, Dylan. Just every single person. I said, at what point in time are you going to let go of this anger? I said, Trevor, God will forgive your sins. You got to forgive others theirs. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. I'm going to tell you, if anything I'm saying right now is hitting home for anybody here, I have your remedy. I have your freedom. It's right here. Do you want it? Worship. Worship. I'll never forget the time God set me free from such a large part of the chip that was on the shoulder of my heart. I was in Chicago, and I went on this, it was a leadership. They used to have this thing called the Straight Up Conference, and it was from James McDonald in Chicago, and he had like this amazing lineup of speakers, and I was like, I am going to this thing. It was Jim Cimbala, Warren Wiersbe, Erwin Lutzer. I mean, like just amazing, godly, long guys who have been in ministry for years and years and years and still doing it. And after the conference was over, it was like 11 o'clock, but we didn't want to leave. We know we were hanging out, man. And we didn't want to stop the hanging out. And one dude that was from the area, he's like a server guy. I was like, hey, man, there's a park up the block. You guys want to go there and worship? And I was like, yeah, you know, let's do it. So a couple of guys had guitars, and it was in the middle of the night. It was 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and all we did was sing all night long. And I was like, something happened to me in that. It was like something, I let go of something. I don't even know what it was. If you are struggling with rage and anger, unforgiveness, man, let me tell you, rescue yourself. Get rid of the crappy music you've been listening to. Fill your life with worship music, praise and worship, not Christian music. Forget about that. Praise and worship, like some house fires, man, some of that good elevation, you know what I mean? And just get alone with God, man, and just lift your hands up. Make your house a sanctuary. Make your closet a sanctuary. And just call out on God. Let the floodgates of tears overflow. Let your heart release bitterness and anger. You know, your parents are never going to be perfect. And you're going to find out something when you're a parent, if you don't have kids yet. You're not going to be perfect. You can do a lot of stupid stuff that you don't want your kids to hold on to. And the only way to really ask your kids to not hold on to the dumb things you did is to not hold on to the dumb things your parents did. Oh, but my parents really did bad stuff. Yeah, I know, poor you. But me too, okay? I'm telling you, listen to what he says. Let me read this to you again. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. He causes vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. He destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Please, let me explain this to you. He's explaining that he does good and bad. He's in control of everything. Yeah, he let crappy things happen to you in your life, but you know what? He's making good things happen too. Don't hold on to it no more. He does anything he wishes, and he promises in the end it's going to turn out good. And listen, you who've had terrible things happen to you, he let them happen to you so that you could help other people who terrible things have happened to. All right? Does that suck? I'm sorry. But God's not, because he knows what's in you. God gives you, some of you guys, a special gift. He goes like this. Look, he goes, man, a brain tumor. Now, who could I give that to? Man, who will be faithful with this? Who's going to come out on the other side of this thing better off? And he's going to tell everybody. You could have that. What a gift, huh? What an amazing. What a gift. Well, that don't sound like a gift to me. I don't want no brain tumor. Yeah, maybe not. But do you understand the blessing that awaits some people? Have you gone through cancer? Maybe you've gone through the virus. Have you gone through a death of a child? What have you gone through? And God says, man, I've got these amazing gifts. Gift? Yeah, that don't sound like a gift to me. Oh, wait till you see what it looks like on the other side. The other side of what? Oh, man. Guys, he is waiting and his reward is with him. He's going to give you a reward for everything you've gone through. So the worst things you go through here, the more you reward. I heard a guy one time say, think about the side of a mountain. Think about like Mount Rushmore, if you've ever seen the vastness of that. And every day a bird goes, a little woodpecker goes and he sharpens his little beak on it. When that whole thing is worn down from the bird sharpening his beak, that's one day in heaven. What are we doing? Worship God. That's the answer to everything, man. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak. Eyes they have, but they don't see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Pastor Bob used to say this thing. He used to say, and I thought it was kind of mean, especially for Pastor Bob, who is such a soft guy. He used to say, when you get into trouble, when things are really bad, call on your God. Budweiser, can you help me now? Nissan, if you've ever driven a truck, if you drive a truck, when you're driving toward other vehicles, you notice the car's headlights all have faces now. They make them to look like faces. Some mean, eyebrows are mean, am I the only one that's noticed this, or am I? Okay, you did get this, all right. Eyes they have, but they can't see. If you've never been to a ghetto, let me tell you what a ghetto is. A true ghetto. It's when there's a tin shack with a Cadillac out front. Because they ain't got a house, but they got $1,000 car payment. Gotta have a car seat under the tree. We have a true and living God. Man, why in the world did he choose us? Have you struggled with that question yet? Have you not struggled with that yet? Like, why did God choose me? Like, my kids, I don't see them struggling with that question as much. But do you understand? I want you to think about your life. Who in your life is saved? Like, I don't have anybody in my life. My mother, my father got saved after me. My brother got saved. I don't know any. There is no born-again Christians in my family. Why in the world did God do this? Because he knew the one person stubborn enough to get everybody else to follow him. He knew the one person who was so rebellious, I refused to smoke pot because my parents did. No, my father was in pornography. I wasn't going to watch pornography ever. Like, that's stubborn. I fought against the desires of my flesh because of the rebellion of my flesh. Because if they did it, I'm not doing it. I never did drugs. My parents did drugs. I'm not. I never once said to myself, well, drugs are bad for you. That's why I'm not doing them. No. I said, you guys are doing them. Why would I do them? You follow me? Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. There's your secret. Worship. If you're missing something from your life, start at worship. If you are here and you have not given up secular music, and lately the Lord's been knocking on your heart, may this be your confirmation. Let it go. You don't need it anymore. You're not missing nothing. Believe me when I tell you. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. If there's one thing this church could figure out, is that is the truest line in the Bible. I can't start the services. Marty, would you get people in here? Could you stop talking? We're having church. Please, somebody. Guys, we're going home. Gotta go home. Christy. You yelled at me last week because I went too long. I went short, and now you're here. It's 10 o'clock at night. It's not true? You calling me a liar? Do not be divided and conquered ever again. Let this be a lesson. There's a reason that when they want to punish people, they put them in solitary confinement. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that the common binder in this church is your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We bless you, God. We praise you. We say hallelujah. We say hosanna in the highest. Baptize us, God, to know the power of fellowship, the power of worship, the power of your word, the power of prayer. Thank you, God. We lift these things up to you in the name of the Savior of mankind, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.